Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Roll call for Wednesday, February the 9th. Anderson?
Here.
Allman?
Here.
Barrasso?
Here.
Boggs?
Here.
Burns?
Here.
Case?
Here.
Coe?
Here.
Cooper?
Here.
DeCaria?
Here.
Geis?
Here.
Haynes?
Here.
Hawks?
Here.
Hines?
Here.
Jennings?
Here.
Job?
Here.
Johnson?
Here.
Massey?
Here.
Meyer? Excused? Mockler?
Here.
Nicholas?
Here.
Northrup?
Here.
Peck?
Here.
Ross?
Here.
Schiffer?
Here.
Scott?
Here.
Sessions?
Here.
Townsend?
Here.
Vasey?
Here.
Von Flatern?
Here.
President Larson?
Here.
29 present, 1 excused.
Prayer by Father Cole.
Let us pray. Lord God, for many Christians today, Ash Wednesday marks the beginning of Lent, and 40 days of fasting, prayer, and charitable works in preparation for the celebration of Easter. These days of Lent recall the 40 days Jesus fasted and prayed in the desert. There he suffered 3 temptations, to change stones into bread, to throw himself off the parapet of the temple, and to seize power over all the nations. As we do the work of the people of Wyoming here in the Senate, on this last day for third reading of bills originating in this body, help us not to give in to the temptations to satisfy our own personal wants, to shift burdens to others, or to seek fame or power for ourselves. Instead, help us to keep our duty to serve the people and to work for the good of all as our guiding principle, and make our efforts this day fruitful. We ask this for the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Reading, correction, approval of the journal. Will the reading clerk please read the journal committee report?
Mr. President, your journal committee reports at the journal of February the 8th, 2005, have been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Johnson, chairman.
Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. Our doctor for the day, I don't see here, it's for his second time, however, is Gerald Smith, M.D. from Cheyenne. And our nurse for today is Sue Howard of Campbell County Hospital, Gillette. Would you stand and let us welcome you to the center? Our thought for the day, letting the cat out of the bag is a whole lot easier than putting it back in. Very applicable. You bet, Senator Cooper.
Yeah, for
you may, Senator.
I'd just like to wish everyone today a happy Chinese New Year. And it's the year of the rooster, so we can cock and crow all day long.
Senator Cooper, that supposedly only started today. Senator Von Flatern.
Mr. President, if I get a privilege of the floor.
You may.
In the gallery to the north here is the Gillette Area Leadership class, about the 20th class, and being a past graduate, I'm glad to see that this class continues. It's a great program. And Senator, welcome.
Thank you. Welcome to the Senate. We're happy to have you here keeping an eye on us. Messages from the House.
February the 8th, 2005, from the House of Representatives. Third reading failed. Mr. President, the bill listed below failed to pass the House on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill number 163, State Lottery Organization. Ayes 29, noes 29, 2 excused. February the 8th, 2005, from the House of Representatives, third reading passed. Mr. President, the bills listed below passed the House on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill number 92, Rape Shield Law, Immoral or Indecent Acts. Ayes 59, no, 0, excused, 1. House Bill number 240, Establishment of Public Roads. Ayes 57, noes 2, excused, 1. Third reading passed, amended. Mr. President, the bills listed below passed the House on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. House Bill number 205, Unlawful Anti-Skimming. Ayes 59, no, 0, excused, 1. House Bill number 275, Methamphetamine Initiative Planning Study. Ayes 58, noes 1, excused 1. House Bill 305, Fair Practices of Equipment Dealers 2. Ayes 57, noes 2, excused 1. House Bill 314, Guardian Ad Litem. Ayes 59, noes 0, excused 1. House Bill number 232, Economic Development Excise Taxes. Ayes 56, noes 1, excused 3. House Bill number 253, Apprenticeship Program. Ayes 49, noes 8, excused 4. House Bill number 270, Public Records Management. Ayes 35, noes 21, excused 4. House Bill number 345, Incentives for Mineral Exploration 2. Ayes 53, noes 3, excused 4. And House Joint Resolution 13, Education as Free as Possible. Ayes 56, noes 0, excused 4.
House bills on first read. Senator Scott.
President, may I have the privilege of the floor?
You may, Senator Scott.
Mr. President, we have in the balcony a group of students and with the teachers and some parents from the CY Junior High School in Casper down visiting us today. I would ask the Senate to make them welcome.
House Bill 260, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 260, DUI Child Endangerment, sponsored by Representative Hinchley, and Act relating to driving under the influence. It passed the House in an amended form on third reading. Ayes 59, no, 0, excused 1.
House Bill number 260 is assigned to Committee number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 92, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 92, Rape Shield Law, Immoral or Indecent Acts, sponsored by Representative Gingery, an act relating to crimes and offenses. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 59, no, 0, excused, 1.
House Bill 92 is assigned to Committee number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 69, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 69, Public Transit Account Appropriation. sponsored by Representative Kohi, an act relating to the public transit account. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 59, no 0, excused 1.
House Bill 69 is assigned to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. House Bill 155, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 155, Uniform Management of Public Employees Retirement Act, sponsored by Representative Pedersen, an act relating to administration of government, passed the House in an amended form on third reading. Ayes 57, noes 2, excused 1.
House Bill 155 is assigned to Committee Number 3, Revenue. House Bill 48, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 48, Newspaper Size for Legal Notices, sponsored by Representative Walsh, an act relating to publication of legal notices. Passed the House on an amended form on third reading. Ayes 55, no 0, excused 5.
House Bill 48 is assigned to Committee Number 4, Education. House Joint Resolution Number 13, first reading of the Joint Resolution.
House Joint Resolution 13, Education as Free as Possible, sponsored by Representative Harshman. A joint resolution to determine means of making higher education in Wyoming as free as possible. Passed the House in amended form on third reading, ayes 56, no 0, excused 4.
House Joint Resolution 13 is assigned to Committee Number 4, Education. House Bill 29, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 29, Agricultural Burning, sponsored by Representative Hageman, an act relating to environmental quality. Passed the House on an amended form on third reading. Ayes 59, no 0, excused 1.
House Bill 29 is assigned to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. House Bill 240, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 240, Establishment of Public Roads, sponsored by Representative Olson, an act relating to the establishment of highways. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 57, noes 2, excused 1.
House Bill Number 240 is assigned to Committee Number 8, Transportation. House Bill Number 292, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 292, Wyoming Energy Commission, sponsored by Representative Miller, an act relating to the Wyoming Energy Commission. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 55, noes 1, excused 1.
House Bill 292, House Bill 292 is assigned to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Fellow Senators, I'm going to take the privilege of the floor myself for a few minutes. We have with us some very special guests of important to this state, and if you would, I'd like to have them stand and help me welcome them to the Senate. We have Suzanne Lewis, the superintendent of Yellowstone National Park, and we have Mary Scott, the superintendent of Grand Teton National Park. I could not forget that. Please remain standing. And with them, we have Rob Wallace of the National Park Foundation. These two ladies are doing a magnificent job in managing two of Wyoming's real crown jewels. They're very good to communicate, to keep in touch with Wyoming officials, myself especially, and I would I'd like you all to stand and welcome to the Senate. We're very pleased to have you here. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being here to keep an eye on us. We're very pleased to have you doing what you're doing. You're a vital part of the state of Wyoming. So thank you for your service and thank you for coming down. They will be around the Capitol and around Cheyenne most of the day today. Any of you desire to visit with them, we're going to also go over and visit at the house. And then some are having lunch. If anyone is interested in having lunch with them today, let me know and we can work that out. And I just appreciate you coming down. Reports from standing committees.
February the 9th, 2005, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 80, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Anderson, Case, Hines, Job, and Nicholas, Senator Hines, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 189, engrossed, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, Case, Hines, Job, and Nicholas, Senator Hines, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 26, engrossed, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, Case, Hines, Job, and Nicholas, Senator Hines, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 207, engrossed, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Geis, Johnson, Meyer, Northrup, and Vasey, Senator Geis, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 228, engrossed, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Boggs, Cole, Jennings, Peck, and Townsend, Senator Cole, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agricultural Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 195, engrossed, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Geis, Johnson, Meyer, Northrup, and Vasey, Senator Geis, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 170, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Geis, Johnson, Meyer, Northrup, and Vasey, Senator Geis, Chairman.
Senator Geis.
House Bill 195, Forest Division Appropriations, sponsored by Representative Lupert, has appropriations, need to be re-referred to committee number 2.
It is so ordered. Senator Cole.
Mr. President, House Bill 70, House Bill 85, and House Bill 228 all have appropriations. I would request that they be re-referred to committee number 2.
They will be so referred. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, may I have the privilege of the floor?
You may, sir.
Mr. President, I would like to introduce to the Senate Megan Reichert. Megan is currently serving as Miss Wyoming. She lives up in Dayton. She graduated from high school last year. She's taking courses at Sheridan College and also touring the state, particularly visiting with younger kids in our state. Her emphasis is on the prevention of suicide. And as I'm sure you're well aware, Mr. President, that is a big problem in the state of Wyoming. It's a very tough issue. Megan has chosen to take that on for her year as Miss Wyoming. I would ask if we can persuade Megan to maybe sing for us. I would ask, I'll escort you up here if you'd like.
It is my understanding that you're going to sing the Star Spangled Banner for us. Is that correct? So if everybody would rise and face the flag, please.
The Senate today. I was able to visit the House just a few minutes ago, and I was received very well there, so thank you for having me here. I just wanted to inform you a little more about what I am doing as Miss Wyoming. Since September, after returning from Miss America, I have been touring around the state and speaking to the youth of our state about teen suicide prevention. Usually I focus mostly on the 6th through 12th graders, and we usually have an all-school assembly, and we talk about some things that are involved with that issue, the signs and prevention tips and ways to recognize the problem that is so prevalent in our state. Today, I am actually visiting some schools in Cheyenne. I'm visiting the Deming and Miller Elementary Schools. And when I visit them, I will talk to them more about the bullying issue of things and conflict management skills, ways that they can solve their problems without using violence. The suicide issue is a little too graphic for my elementary schoolers, so this gets my goal to where it needs to be as well. Also, I will be Miss Wyoming until June, and at that time, we are hoping to have a pageant in Sheridan, where I will give up my crown reluctantly, and we are actually, at this time, looking for more contestants. So I thought, here I am at the Senate of the House, and you will all represent the districts that you are from. So if you are interested and you may know some girls that you have in mind, I have left some cards with our receptionist that you can get a hold of me, and just so we can further this Miss America scholarship program throughout the state. There, unfortunately, last year we only had 4 girls try out for Miss Wyoming, which meant one scholarship went left unclaimed, and we don't want that to happen this year. So if you know of anyone who may be interested, go ahead and contact me. And I just want to thank you again for the great work that you are doing for Wyoming, and I want to wish you the best in preparing for our future. So thank you.
Megan, we thank you very much for honoring us with that wonderful rendition. It is very easy to see why you're Miss Wyoming. You've got very talented
very beautiful, obviously very smart, and you have a wonderful cause, and we appreciate what you do for the people of Wyoming. Thank you for visiting us. Keep up the good work. Mr. Vice President, would you approach the desk? Second reading. House Bill 2, second reading of the Senate.
House Bill Number 2, Water Permits, Electronic Permitting, sponsored by the Agriculture Committee.
House Bill 2, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 9, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 9, Uniform Service Members Reemployment, sponsored by the Transportation Committee.
House Bill 9, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 12, the second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 12, Mineral Audit Period, sponsored by the Revenue Committee.
House Bill 12, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 14, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 14, Streamlined Sales Tax, sponsored by the Revenue Committee.
House Bill 14, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 15, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 15, National Guard Education Assistance, sponsored by the Transportation Committee.
House Bill 15, having been read two separate times, Senator Ron Clayton.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Yesterday, I didn't have a couple answers that the former Majority Leader and the President asked. So I have those answers for you today on the fiscal impact of this bill. This is the National Guard Education Assistance. And the reason that we didn't have a fiscal note was, according to this chart, for the last few years, deployment of troops drives the amount of money they spend. And in the fall of 2003, they spent as much as $272,000 in tuition assistance. It dropped to $212,000 the next spring. Summer of 2004, they only spent almost $42,000, and there was a big deployment going on. Last year, they climbed back up. Fall of 2004, they climbed to $161,000. So it bounces around so much that they believe it will be covered in their budget. It shouldn't have any effect unless the world suddenly goes to complete peace and they all come home. That will be more than the next biennium at that point. So they would come back at that time should what we are allowing them to do raise that and raise the amount of money they're going to spend. Also, as asked, how many incentive programs are there are educationally wise? There's 100% state tuition, which is what we just dealt with, paying that in-state. There's a Montgomery GI Bill of $288 a month, which is a prior service member only. There's another Montgomery GI Bill kicker, which I don't know the definition of the word. It's another $200 a month if you qualify, and that's a prior service member only. There's an enlistment bonus of $10,000. There's a student loan repayment of $20,000, but you must be prior debt before your enlistment, and a monthly paycheck for offsetting costs of $152 to $200 a month, depending on how you qualify. And I hope I have answered the floor of the Majority Leader and Mr. President's questions on that. Thank you, Mr. Vice President.
Mr. President.
Mr. Chairman, I would just like to say I do appreciate the information. I think that fully explains the bill, and I appreciate you finding that out. So.
House Bill 15, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 21, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 21, Certified Public Accountant, sponsored by the Corporations Committee.
House Bill 21, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 41, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 41, Reportable Animal Disease List, sponsored by the Agriculture Department.
House Bill 41, having been read two separate times, there is an amendment. Okay. The reading clerk will read in the amendment.
House Bill 41, second reading amendment number 1 to engrossed copy, page 3, after line 10.
Senator Sessions.
Vice Chair, Vice President, I brought this amendment because in looking at the May and recognizing that the public health officer in our statutes does not have the ability to May to give out information, and his duties are pretty well prescribed, and so I'll read those to you in a minute. But what the amendment does is it just strikes out or the state public health officer when he deems it to be in the best interests of human public health. We left the other in with the May in it, but under 35.1.223, it gives out the cooperation to be fit to prevent spread of contagious diseases, report of epidemics of diseases required from local health officers, and it said shall give, and it goes through the structure of who shall give to what, but then under the powers and duties, it says the Department of Health shall have and exercise the following powers and duties. And just one of them reads, to investigate and control the causes of epidemic, communicable, occupational, and other diseases and afflictions of physical disabilities resulting thereof affecting the public health. And so it goes on, and so the public health officer shall, he is required under our statutes to do these things, and so I thought we do not want a thing in our statutes that says may instead of shall concerning our public health officer. Thank you.
Senator Session, would you move the amendment, please?
Excuse me, Mr. Vice President. I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 41 and ask for your support. Thank you.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Vice President, rising, I believe, in opposition to this amendment, as I understand what the amendment does, is it takes out the ability of the state health officer to release the information publicly when he thinks it's a public health problem. And, yes, he's got the other statutes charging him with investigating and whatnot, but it does seem to me there might be some circumstances in which the state health officer would say, look, this animal disease is a public health matter. It ought to be made widely known to the public so that people can take steps to protect themselves. And I wonder if it wouldn't be better to leave it the way the Standing Committee amendment had it with the state health officer having the ability to release information publicly. So, Mr. Vice President, I stand ready to be persuaded otherwise, but at this point I think the amendment is a mistake, and we'd be better off with the Standing Committee amendment as written.
Other discussion before the sponsor of the amendment takes her second time? Senator Sessions?
Mr. Vice President, I did not read to you the entire statute that says what he shall do. And it's pretty plain what he does. And it says, the Department of Health and the to exercise, let's see, and it goes under, there's two things here that he does. And I'll take your time and read them all. The Department of Health shall give all the information that may be reasonably requested concerning any threat and danger to the public health, and the local health officers in all the state, and it goes on, shall give the like information to the state health officers, and when it, and it goes on, that it, and I hesitate to read this word for word, but it says, when in any country an epidemic or contagious or infectious disease, including venereal diseases, is known to exist, it shall be the duty of the county health officer of such county to immediately notify the state health officer, and so forth, and then under the powers and the duties. And it says, during a public health emergency, it goes on to establish and maintain enforced isolation, quarantine, and in pursuance thereof for such purposes only. And it goes on, and that's his thing. And so it, instead of saying may release, I think we came up with the thing that we have a complication if in our statutes if we put may in there instead of shall, because of his duties and all of this, he is releasing that information and taking it to the public and to the structure. And it does say in here where it says, let's see, to the safe county, city, and town insofar as legal and practical. So it is in that statute as far as it's legal and practical that he shall do this. And so I just thought, instead of having a conflict in the statutes, that we probably ought to take, and instead of saying may, we probably ought to say shall.
Okay. The question is, shall...
Senator Scott.
Well, Mr. Vice President, you have some confidentiality provisions here, and I think rather than creating a conflict in the statute, we're preventing, this would be a subsequent enactment, and seek guidance from some of the attorneys in the bodies, but I think this would govern over that earlier statute if there's a conflict, and I really think we're better off defeating the amendment and leaving the state public health officer with the clear authority here to release information if needed.
The question is...
Mr. Vice President, may I permit...
Senator Session will be allowed a very short time. You've spoken...
Oh, thank you. I'm just saying, if you will look up 351-223... It pretty much spells out what exactly the public health office shall do. And I'm telling you, if we put may in there, I checked with the attorneys, I believe, and in visiting with them, that all powers and duties and 351 cooperation to prevent spread of contagious diseases that exist in our statutes, and I worry about the may having a conflict with the shall of what that public health officer should do in the statutes.
Okay, the question is, shall second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 41 pass? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The amendment had failed. House Bill 41 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objection? It is so ordered. The next bill, House Bill 42. 3, second reading of the House bill.
House Bill number 43, Livestock Diseases, sponsored by the Agricultural Committee.
Okay, there is amendment to House Bill 43. Senator Scott.
House Bill number 43, second reading amendment number 1 to engrossed copy, page 5, line 6.
Mr. Vice President, I move for adoption of this amendment. Mr. Vice President, if you recall the discussion in the Committee of the Whole yesterday, the language that's in here requires testing of all test-eligible bovine and domestic bison. What this amendment does is it says of any test-eligible, and what that does, it gives them flexibility. They can still order that they all be tested at any one of these facilities, but it gives them flexibility to say, no, we only need to test the ones, say, from some certain counties where there's a possibility of exposure, and we don't need to test the others. It gives them more flexibility, and I think that's desirable. So I would move adoption of the amendment, and I would urge the Senate to support it.
The question is, shall second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 43 pass? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
As opposed, no. Amendment has passed. House Bill 43 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 51, second reading of House Bill.
House Bill number 51, Public Schools High School Diploma Endorsement, sponsored by the Education Committee.
There is amendment to Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Vice President, I would ask that House Bill 51, Public Schools High School Diploma Endorsements, be laid back for second reading tomorrow.
Without objection, it will be laid back until tomorrow. House Bill 104, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 104, County Payroll Direct Deposit, sponsored by Representative Gingery.
House Bill 104, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 162, second reading of the House bill.
House Bill number 162, Big Game Hunting Baiting Exception, sponsored by Representative Childress.
House Bill 162, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Bills on 3rd reading and final passage. Bills on 3rd reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
Mr. President, we do have a consent list. On the consent list are Senate File 93, Nursing Practice Act Amendments, Senate File 118, Wyoming Business Ready Community Program, Senate File 150, Special Prosecution Account, Senate File 159, National Guard Youth Program, Senate File 162, Wyoming Historic Mine Trail System. Senate File 165, Loss of Chance Doctrine Abrogated 2. Senate File 166, State Drug Wholesaler, Senate File 170, Controlled Substances Penalties, Senate File 172, Gap Accounting Implementation, and Senate File 173, Assault Upon Corrections or Detention Officer.
On the consent list are bills Senate File 93, Nursing Practice Act Amendments, Senate File 118, Wyoming Business Ready Community Program, Senate File 150, Special Prosecution Account, Senate File 159, National Guard Youth Program, Senate File 162, Wyoming Historic Mine Trail System, Senate File 165, Loss of Chance Doctrine Abrogated, -2, Senate File 166, State Drug Wholesalers, Senate File 170, Controlled Substance Penalties, Senate File 172, Gap Accounting Implementation, and Senate File 173, Assault Upon Corrections Officers. Would any senator like any of those bills removed from the consent list? Senator Johnson.
Mr. President, I would like Senate File 165, Loss of Chance Doctrine, abrogated, removed.
Senate File 165, Loss of Chance Doctrine, shall be removed from the consent list. Any other bills any senator would like removed from the list? The consent list now consists of Senate File 93, Nursing Practice Act Amendments, Senate File 118, Wyoming Business Ready Community Programs, Senate File 150, Special Prosecution Account, Senate File 159, National Guard Youth Program, Senate File 162, Wyoming Historic Mine Trail System, Senate File 166, State Drug Wholesaler, Senate File 170, Controlled Substance Penalties, Senate File 172, Gap Accounting Implementation, and Senate File 173, Assault Upon Corrections or Detention Officers. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Almond?
Aye.
Barrasso?
Aye.
Boggs?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Haynes?
Aye.
Hawks?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Job? Johnson?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer? Excused. Mockler?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Northrup? Northrup? Peck?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
Aye.
Vasey?
Aye.
Bonflatern?
Aye.
President Larson?
Aye.
On the consent list, 29 ayes, 1 excused. Senate File 93, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 93, 29 ayes, 1 excused. Senate File 118, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 118, 28 ayes, 1 no, 1 excused. Senate File 150, are there any changes? Geis, aye to no. Sessions, aye to no. Vasey, aye to no.
Larson, aye to no.
President Larson, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 150, 25 ayes, 4 noes, 1 excused. Senate File 159, are there any changes? Mockler, aye to no. Joe, aye to no.
Burns, aye to no.
Burns, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 159, 25 ayes, 4 noes, 1 excused. Senate File 162, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 162, 29 ayes, 1 excused. Senate File 166, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 166, 29 ayes, 1 excused. Senate File 170, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Massey, aye to no. DeCaria, aye to no. Mockler, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 170, 25 ayes, 4 noes, 1 excused. Senate File 172, are there any changes? Scott, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 172, 28 ayes, 1 no, 1 excused. And Senate File 173, are there any changes? Mockler, aye to no. Burns, aye to no.
Case, aye to no.
Ross, aye to no. Nicholas, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 173. 24 ayes, 5 noes, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 93, Nursing Practice Act Amendments, Senate File 118, Wyoming Business Ready Community Program, Senate File 150, Special Prosecution Accounts, Senate File 159, National Guard Youth Program, Senate File 162, Wyoming Historic Mine Trail System, Senate File 166, State Drug Wholesalers, Senate File 170, Controlled Substance Penalties, Senate File 172, Gap Accounting Implementation, and Senate File 173, Assault Upon Corrections or Detention Officers, have passed the Senate. Senate File 71, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 71, Wyoming Community Facilities Program, sponsored by Senator Ross, an act relating to the administration of government, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. The reading clerk will read the amendment. Third reading amendment number one.
Senate File 71, third reading amendment number one. Delete the case second reading amendment.
The Anderson amendment, Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. And at this time, I'd like to move the third reading amendment number one to Senate File 71. Yesterday, there was an amendment put on, and I think it was a very good amendment. It's not the purpose of this one to take from that, but I think in regard to our discussions of this bill, trying to bring a somewhat a tighter focus or a clearer focus into line, we brought this amendment forward, and I'll read it to you, but it says that the council, meaning the business council, shall give higher priority to any project calling for the rehabilitation and the reuse of surplus public school or government building to be used for community improvement efforts for which there is a demonstrated lack of alternative funding sources. And this is really trying to get the Business Council to pay attention in regard to priority, to need, and focus it just to those buildings that have become surplus from some government entity. And so that is the intention. The intention is, in fact, I think, to make yesterday's good amendment perhaps a little better and to bring this perhaps into line with what we talked about in regard to the executive comments during the State of the State, and bringing perhaps focus to the bill, make it more clear to the Council in regard to what the intention is. I would ask for your favorable support.
Discussion on the amendment. Senator Case.
Mr. President, I guess I should have figured this was coming, but I didn't know this was coming. But, Mr. President, what this would do is to restore all the language we took out yesterday. And it would add this clause that says that the Council shall give higher priority to any project calling for the rehabilitation and reuse of a surplus public school or government building. Mr. President, I would speak against the amendment. I think there's already a program that deals with everything besides the school problem. And, in fact, it's even funded some of the school problems in our community. The business-ready communities program has funded efforts for schools, but schools is exactly where the biggest problem is. Schools are the community facilities that have come to the forefront because of the way we're doing capital construction, because of the fact we have a declining student enrollment, and the closure and removal of these buildings, the building of smaller schools, literally takes off the table important community facilities. That's why we need a narrowly targeted program to deal with that issue. And frankly, there's not enough money in here to go after anything else. So you need to target this program to go at exactly those communities that have these school facilities. Now, what this does is say, let's go after those first, but let's leave the barn door open. It's not latched. We can push it farther open any time. And you can have spray parks. You can have competition with existing businesses. I know that I put an amendment in the other day that tries to do something about that. But we had a discussion about big discount stores in Casper, spray parks, all sorts of things that the taxpayers maybe shouldn't be spending their money on. And I would ask you to resist this amendment.
Further discussion on the amendment. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and for the amendment, I do want to clear something up also. On line 15 of the amendment, that is, if you recall, yesterday we divided the case amendment in two, and it was LSO's feeling it was easier just to delete the whole amendment rather than go line by line through that and delete those lines. And so we have kept... On line 15 of this amendment, we have kept that portion of the case amendment which required the rulemaking in this area. I would urge you to consider this amendment. We have tried to arrive at a compromise between the two juxtaposed positions. Those of us who think that there needs to be more flexibility and broader scope for this bill also recognize that the good senator from Fremont County made a viable argument concerning those school facilities. Certainly, there may not be enough money in this account. The bill started out with $30 million, and it's down from that. But our hope is that this will be an ongoing program, and that at times when we continue to have money, that we are sharing that wealth with our communities to help enhance the communities. Why limit the program? It may be limited just by and of itself by the very nature of the number of dollars. And we have put in a parameter here. I believe that is sufficient for us. We will be back. We will be able to continue to see what's going on here and make additional appropriations if necessary as we move forward. But I urge you to keep the bill as flexible as possible and to help our communities.
Further discussion? Any further discussion? Senator Mockler.
Mr. President, before the maker of the motion speaks for his second time, I think we really do have to think about the fact that there are other programs, and when we think about sharing the wealth of the state with the people of this state, we do a very good job of that, and we have a lot of different programs. I'm starting to worry we're getting too many, and that what we ought to identify are the problems in front of us. And to just give some perspective to that, because we're also fond of that spray park in some community in the southeast part of the state, I think what you have to think about with that, and I asked the business council this, how many people are coming and asking for loans to do these business enhancements? No one. Everyone came for a grant because we didn't require that they come for a loan. We just said the grant or a loan, and they picked grant because why not? And the same thing will happen with this, I think. And then when you come and you ask for the grant, they don't have everybody in the whole state's grant in front of request in front of them, a loan request. I mean, someone might want a loan in front of them for the whole year. They're going to do them in quarters and pieces. And so you'll never get a sense of whether these communities, the ones that get their acts together first, I mean, it's like anything else, are going to get here first. And they're going to get in for the grant money, and they're going to get in line and say, you know, this is just a huge priority for us because it's what's going to grow our economy. And I don't think that's what we're trying to do. I think we're trying to make sure that everybody can come to the table to get this program off the ground, to get these schools refurbished and some other government buildings. But I'm just not really comfortable yet with this money opening up to the entire process, and would ask that you vote no on this amendment.
Further discussion before the sponsor takes his second turn. Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to point out that there is another program, Business Ready Communities, where communities can go to get these needs taken care of that's being described here. That program is being expanded by the passage of our budget. We didn't cut their funds. Huge expansion, more of an expansion than the amount of money in this bill now. The second point, Mr. President, is we have an ongoing large need for communities to have access to funds to do something with these school buildings. Some of these communities are extremely small. They lack the competitive ability to have the grant writers and the sophisticated lobbyists to come down and seek these funds, Mr. President. So if they're not there when the funds are first handed out, then this amendment directs the business council and then the SLIP board to go ahead and give the funds out to the next priority when there's communities that just haven't got their act together yet and can't come down here and compete for it. We need to set aside this money for those little communities and those other special problems dealing with schools, because you all know who they are. They're in your districts, and you know that in those little towns that really depend on these facilities, they also are the little towns that probably can't compete for the grants with everybody else in the state without a set-aside pot.
Further discussion before the sponsor take his second time. Seeing none, Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm not going to launch back into a long discussion about the intention of this amendment compared to the original amendment, but I will simply say that this is, in fact, a very good program, and this is the kind of bill I think that we can really go out in those communities to make a difference. So what I would ask of you at this time is make a careful examination of the amendment before you, as well as the one that's on the bill at this point, and vote what you think your conscience is in regard to your community and how you can best serve your community. Idea being, vote in such a fashion on this amendment that you can continue to support the bill, and regardless of the outcome of this amendment, hopefully you can support the passage of the bill. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senate File 71, third reading amendment number 1, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Chair's undecided. All in favor of the amendment, please stand. All opposed, please stand. The amendment has failed. Back on the bill. Any further discussion on the bill? Seeing none, the reading clerk will the chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Ahman?
Aye.
Barrasso?
Aye.
Boggs?
Aye.
Burns? Case?
Aye.
Poe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
DeCaria.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Haynes.
Aye.
Cox.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Job.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Massey.
Aye.
Meyer. Excused. Mockler.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Peck.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
No.
Sessions.
Aye.
Townsend.
Aye.
Vasey.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Larson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 28 ayes, 1 no, 1 excused.
Senate File 71, having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 71 has passed the Senate. Senate File 122 has an amendment from a member who has been excused for a while this morning. I'm going to lay that back to the end of third reading, and it will be discussed then if in fact, well, a bill will be anyway, but in order to give that that member of the Senate an opportunity if he does return. Senate File 132, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 132, First Responders, Criminal Background Check, sponsored by Senator Mockler, an act relating to the Wyoming Criminal History Records Act. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Third reading amendment number one. The reading clerk will read the amendment.
Senate File 132, third reading amendment number one, page one, line five.
The Mockler amendment, Senator Mockler.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number one to Senate File 132 and ask that we dispense with further reading of the amendment. In the Corporations Committee meeting a couple of days ago, we had a House bill that also opened up criminal background checks. They opened up Title 719-201. This bill opened up 106. And so the question was posed to the staff in the back, all right, which one is it supposed to be in? And after their first review, they said we should come back with an interim study and clean this whole thing up, because there are questions about, one is the information that you can get from the individual. The second part is the information you can get from the DCI to get from the FBI. What they did overnight, and I must commend them for this because their original was sort of fix it in the interim, is they fixed it. And they came this morning with an amendment that in this bill pulls in Section 201, which allows that we can ask the individual for his fingerprints so that we can do the background check. So it tracks now with the first part of the bill, which actually did the background check. And as you will notice when we get to this other bill, we'll do the same thing there. And essentially what we've done is the interim committee work, because now the whole thing tracks. It was a bill, it was a section in the law that some people put some in some part and some people put some in the other part, and they were starting to be so conflicting that when you can look at the strikeout language here, what they did is in the amendment they went through and made a Section A, put this in the same order that you look at 106 in, and then cut out all the duplication language in 201 to make it all track. And I actually do commend them for this, and I think both bills will benefit, and so will the statute and the Judiciary Committee in the interim. And I'll answer any questions, but I think this really was a fine catch by the staff, and would appreciate your consideration of the amendment.
Further discussion on the amendment? Further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of third reading amendment number one to Senate File 132, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The amendment is passed. Back on the bill. Any further discussion on the bill? Senate File 132, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Allman.
Aye.
Barrasso.
Aye.
Boggs.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
DeCaria.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Haynes.
Aye.
Hawks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Job.
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer excused. Mockler?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Northrup?
Aye.
Peck?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
Aye.
Vasey?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Larson?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 excused.
Senate File 132, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of members elected to the Senate, has passed the Senate. Senate File 165, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File Number 165, Loss of Chance Doctrine Abrogated 2, sponsored by Senator Allman. An act relating to civil actions being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There are no amendments. Senate File 165, discussion on the Senate file. Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, we've heard fine debate on Senate File 165 in Committee of the Whole what I would like to call wholesale debate. At this time, I would like to get down to retail debate, retail one person. About a year and a half ago, I had an open sore, and it wouldn't heal. And I got worried about it, and I went to my primary health care provider who took a biopsy. And I expected to hear back within a few days, and I didn't hear, and you go about life. And so I figured, well, no problem, nothing wrong with it. In the very late afternoon, almost evening, I got a call from my health care provider, my primary health care provider, that said I had surgery at 7 a.m. the next morning at a dermatologist's office. It was malignant. Well, I went in, of course, the next morning after having a less than enjoyable night, and at 7 a.m. Was operated on, and it was malignant. Lucky for me, very lucky for me, the cancer had spread out and was shallow instead of going deep. They took various biopsies, I guess, whatever it is, in the area around where the surgery was, so they could see if it was spreading. And those results got back very fast. I think the lab was probably waiting for them when they drove them down to wherever it is, wherever they did the work done. But I waited a month and a half before I was told that this was a malignancy. They lost it. The lab sent it to the wrong physician. They didn't even send it to a primary care provider. They sent it to a specialist. And the specialist staff said that apparently looked and said that I wasn't a patient and put it aside. And my primary care provider staff got worried and they went hunting for it. And it took them time to find it because the lab said they sent it back. Now, we get the loss of chance. That month and a half could have ruined my life. The cancer could have gone deep. It could have spread. It could have gone to other organs. Who knows what could have done to it. Cancer is an evil and can do anything. I could easily not be here because I wouldn't have been able to campaign. Loss of chance. Who would I sue? My primary provider? Don't know. It took them a week or so to figure out something was wrong. The lab? Oh, absolutely. How about the other physician? The one whose office staff just did something with it. Who knows? I didn't get into it. Did I sue? No. Why didn't I sue? Because the damage control cured me. there was no problem. If I was in a case of terminal cancer right now, maybe. I don't know. We'll never find out. That's a what-if games, and we don't play what-if games. But I had the option at that time. I had the loss of chance doctrine option if that would have caused a terminal problem for me. I didn't take it, and I imagine most people don't. If the damage control is successful, I'm cured. All I have is a scar. And this time if I get an open sore, it's going to be that day that I'm going to go, because now I know that I do have that possibility. So I had the option of loss of chance. Senate File 165 is going to take that option away. It's going to take that right away. Who is going to lose that right? Now, let's go back to wholesale. Let's not talk about the people that it's supposed to protect. Let's talk about 500,000 people in Wyoming that are going to lose their right. You're going to lose your right. Every one of you is going to lose your right. Your family, your relatives, your friends. And that will expand out to all of Wyoming. Senate File 165 takes away a right, it takes away an option from us, it takes it away from our citizens.
Senator Johnson, 15 seconds.
And thank you, Mr. President. I would ask you to vote no on 165.
Further discussion on the bill. Further discussion on the bill. Senator Scott.
Well, Mr. President, what Senate File 165 does is restore the law to where it was from the time of statehood until August a year ago when the Supreme Court enacted, and I use that word advisedly, Mr. President, because that's what they did. They invaded our province and enacted a new doctrine. They went and made law, changed the law as it had always been understood. And they did it, I won't say in the dark of the night, amounts to the same thing. They did it without the public processes that we go through when we change a law. They greatly broadened what's malpractice and what isn't. That has all kinds of consequences, Mr. President. We're having, and I don't think it's any secret, we're having difficulty in the state with medical malpractice. The costs are rising for many classes of medicine. The income that the doctors get, the fees they charge, are capped because they're under government programs that are approaching half and in many cases well exceeding half of the total practice. So they're getting squeezed. We've been unable to recruit, in many instances, replacement physicians as you get the normal in and out in retirement. And now we're starting to lose physicians. And along comes this new enactment, the loss of chance doctrine. It is going to substantially increase malpractice rates. I don't think we've seen the effects of it reflected in the rates yet. Insurance companies are conservative. They make rates based on experience. There hasn't been enough time for the experience with this new doctrine to show up and to be reflected in the rates, but it will be. And the hostile climate, to quote a physician who just left one of our communities, the hostile climate that exists will get just that much worse. And so what we're asking here, Mr. President, is not to take away any right that we've always had, but to overturn a new enactment. And first tell the courts that enacting the laws is our business and not theirs. And second, try to keep some kind of control on these rising expenses that are just eating us alive. In addition, recall to you the debate on the defensive medicine and the unnecessary medical care and what that's doing to rising health care costs. We haven't done very much this session, done almost nothing to control rising health care costs. This is an opportunity to keep the defensive medicine part of those costs, which are big, from getting a lot worse. So for all those reasons, Mr. President, I would ask us to pass this bill. It's something that we desperately need.
Further discussion on the bill. Senator Vasey.
I was once a representative, but now I'm found. Mr. President, I don't know whether this loss of chance is good or bad, but I don't think in my tenure in both houses that I've ever seen a bill like this. And some of the proponents in the second reading or first reading of the Committee of the Whole said they'd come back and clean it up and maybe make it more technical. But I don't know that it's my job as a legislator to find something about a court case that I know nothing about. I have no expertise in. And now I'm being asked to say that the courts interfered with our business, so this is a get even and go back and interfere with the court's business. I think I could probably maybe support this, I don't know, but I've never ever been asked to find and go into a specific case in the court and vote for something like this.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you. I've come from one side to the other. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not a new bill. It's been presented for several years. I can recall its first proposal came shortly after the McMakin case. Now, I disagree with my colleague from the Natrona County. This represented new law that somehow was an epiphany of the court. These are the lost chance doctrine, and it's described as different doctrines throughout the United States. Some people may call it the increased risk doctrine. It is a concept in law that people struggle with every day throughout in all terms of cases, all kinds of cases. And the use of the notion of the lost chance doctrine is simply a mechanism to talk about a concept. And the concept, for the most part, goes like this. The McMakin case was in 2003, and what really disturbed the lawyers more than anything is that the use of the lost chance doctrine was used in the judicial decision without the lawyers having even briefed it, so they didn't anticipate it. Got in the brief, but they were articulating the concepts of lost chance doctrines. The court just identified a name to it. The court did give a rehearing. The case was reheard in 2004, a case that's not referred to in the Senate file, but in 2004 there was a new decision that came out that the court simply says this, that for malpractice, first of all, you must show that there's malpractice. You don't even get to the next stage until you show there's malpractice. If there was malpractice, then you must show that the malpractice was a substantial factor in causing the plaintiff's harm. So you have to go to the next stage. And that's a problem we always have. In those instances, the classic one is the person who goes and has a misdiagnosis, a failure to diagnose, and as a consequence of that, if it's a cancer situation, so the patient is not diagnosed, so a year goes by, they go in and they say, geez, you have cancer, breast cancer, prostate cancer, whatever it is, and if we had caught it a year ago, you'd have had an 80% chance of survival. Now you've got about 3 months to live. And so you go to court. Well, malpractice cases are hard. And the first thing that the docs do, the counsel for the docs do, is they come in and say, look, you're going to die anyway. This is nothing that's going to happen. The cancer is what killed you, not the failure to diagnose. A doctor comes in from another community and says, you know, if they'd have seen me a year before, I could give you an 80 to 90% chance of success that we would have cured that. Can't tell at 100%. And the courts have to say, okay, what do you do there? Well, that constitutes a substantial factor in the resulting harm, because at 80%, you probably would have had that's good enough to go to a jury, and the jury could decide, are you in the 80% or are you in the 20%? The most recent case happens to be a law case where the lawyer was being sued in Jackson. The lawyer was being sued on the lost chance because he took his client through a trial, and he had to make some decision on what theories of case to drop. He dropped some claims, proceeded on some claims, and the issue was, is would, if the client had a bad result, the issue becomes, is the would I have had a better outcome if my counsel would have presented some claims that he abandoned? And when it comes down to it, the fact is that he has to go get another attorney, and the attorney would have to say, you know, he should not have dropped that claim. That claim, dropping that, fell below the standard of care. And so then the question is fair enough, would have changed the trial? Well, now you have the lost chance factor coming in. And you can get this in almost any kind of a case that's coming up. Our court has not adopted some of the strange opinions that you've seen in other cases. It's been conservative, and it stayed with what we call the majority of the rule that's articulated, and that is that you have to show a substantial factor. It has to be a substantial effect in the harm, and it has to be a substantial causation. And I submit to you that's been the law since the time I graduated from law school. It's always been the case. You can take these cases, but you have to have an expert. And the expert has to first say there's malpractice. Then the expert has to come in and say, you know, I think there would have been, based upon a reasonable degree of medical probability or a reasonable degree of legal probability, I believe that it would have changed the outcome. Now, there are other factors in this theory that have to be worked out, but these things are law that are set out there. This law came from the American Law Institute, or from the Restatement of Laws. The court adopted what is constitutes the majority rule. It does not appear to be abusing it by following minority tangents off of the rule. This Colorado scenario is not at risk of happening here, because in this case you have to have an expert testify at both stages, both at the malpractice stage to show there was malpractice, and also at the causation stage to show that the causation would have had a difference. I submit to you that it's law that's been around. It was the first time that the court had to address that issue because we don't have a wide body of jurisprudence. The court is following the right pathway. It's observing a conservative pathway. And even if you try to abandon this doctrine, the concepts that we've described will still be dealt with. They have to be dealt with. Because if you've harmed a person, then you still have to decide, how are you going to evaluate the harm that is resulting? How are you going to do this? And this is simply a method to evaluate that harm. And the method is the lost chance doctrine. And that is, was the malpractice a substantial factor in causing the plaintiff's harm? And if it was a substantial factor, then you can proceed to the next phase, and that is simply having a jury take a look at what the appropriate amount of damage it is.
Further discussion? Senator Anderson.
Thank you very much. A lot of really good discussion here, and I'm kind of like the good senator over in the corner, that there's a lot of complicated things here that perhaps I don't understand, and so I'm not going to get so much involved with the legal debate. I kind of when I step out of the house in the morning, I kind of know what the weather is, and I kind of know what the climate is here. So all I really know about this issue is what I see personally and what I see in my community and what I see in my district. A couple of days ago, that there was an email read on the floor in regard to the departure of a very, very good physician from our community. My wife received her letter explaining that he was no longer going to practice in Wyoming. He was very, very, very gracious, and he was very kind in his reasons, but his reasons come down to the idea that the climate in Wyoming had changed such that he could probably no longer accommodate that. And I'll take it a step further and probably describe it as somewhat hostile. And so therefore, my wife lost a very important part of her life, and that's a doctor at a time when she's an age to need a good doctor. Our community lost that asset. Real quickly, and not trying to take too much time, there's a person who's very special in my life who was given the opportunity to come to a local regional medical center to interview for a very good job, a very attractive job, a very good practice, a very good facility. He very much wanted to come. But there are a lot of factors in his decision as to whether he did or did not come, and I won't go into all the details, and I don't mean to imply that the thing that we're talking about today was perhaps the only reason he wasn't able to come. But it came down to one thing. And we finally talked about it, and he said to me, finally, in regard to these things, Dad, you, meaning my, as a legislature of Wyoming, has a lot of work to do. And regretfully, then, it was not the time. And so then I ask you, as we look at this time when we're really trying to bring some of these people home, to address some of these very critical issues in regard to health care, when then will the time come? And I say it's like planting trees. The best day was to have done it 25 years ago. But if you didn't, you'd do it today. And I think that in terms of changing the climate, you do it a piece at a time, you do it a little at a time. This is not going to totally change the climate. It's not the silver bullet. It's not the answer. It's not the panacea. But it's a step down the path in which we can create a much more favorable climate. I urge you to support and pass this bill. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
Further discussion. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the Senate, I will be brief, as most of the good points were made by the good senator from Laramie. I want to tell you, though, that, you know, when all else fails, go and read the decision. Because you're talking about a person's rights and, of course, the physician's rights in these cases. All right? One of the things that I'm quoting from the court that you have to balance, though, is that when the court looks at this from a perspective, it looks at it for the overall, and says, okay, we're going to deal with these things. We're going to give you a rule of law. But we're also going to say, you have to apply this on a case-by-case basis. What the court also noted was that, first of all, as the senator from Laramie said, you've got to first find negligence. And then if you find it, if you don't have this doctrine, if you don't have this case law, and in justification of why the court went there, the court said to decide otherwise would be a blanket release from liability for doctors and hospitals any time there was less than a 50% chance of survival, regardless of how flagrant the negligence was. How do you balance those things? I suggest to you also, if you go to the second opinion, and that's kind of an unusual thing about this bill, is we're going to repeal one case, but there was a subsequent case to it. And the court in the second rehearing of McMacken, also spelled out that this isn't a free meal ticket. In computing the damages, here's what happens. If you get past all of those stages, and I'm quoting, the damages recoverable by the plaintiff.
Mr. Vice President, would you approach the bench, please?
The damages recoverable by the plaintiff equals the total sum of the damages. You take that total sum for the underlying injury or death multiplied by the percentage of the lost chance. So you just don't get the whole shooting match. And that's how it's computed, and the court has gone not only to set out the standards as to determining liability, but also the damages. And if you think that this is just about doctors, then I suggest to you that you didn't hear the comments of the senator from Laramie, because the most recent case in Wyoming involves legal malpractice. So, I urge you not to pass this bill. The court has done an admirable job in setting out the law as it is in the majority of the United States. And we must balance not only the physicians in this state, but also our constituents' rights.
Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I was going to stay out of this. There was a little testimony that, to me, brings up the part of the problem. I'm very happy that the senator from Laramie County is doing fine. I think it was heartwarming. But let me point out to you, 6 weeks went by where this personal responsibility come in. I believe if I had been tested for a malignancy and had not heard anything, within a few days, I would be calling my physician and wanting to know where the test was, what had happened to it, and what had gone on. Here to me is a classic example of where we are. Where does personal responsibility come in? Very true, mistakes were made. Obviously, mistakes were made probably on a couple of fronts, maybe by the primary care physician, maybe by the lab, and maybe by the person who received it. But do we not have, then, a responsibility of our own at some point to not wait 6 weeks to ask if a mistake had been made, if it had been lost, if something else had happened? I think we do. And if we don't have that personal responsibility, would we then blame everything on the medical community for loss of chance that happened in the 6 weeks that we perhaps didn't take any action to try to find out what was really wrong? As I said yesterday, or the day before, or whenever, when we were talking about the bill, it is very, very important that no one can guarantee in medical, in anything else, this life does not guarantee 100%. Mistakes are going to be made. There's no doubt about that. But let's keep kind of a level playing field and recognize that if mistakes are made, we must accept some of our own personal responsibility for follow-ups, for looking to see whether those particular things are done, and make sure that we're doing everything we can. Many of you have heard testimonies and cases about finding things. I went to my own doctor sometimes. He says, I think you should be doing this, this, and this. Do I do them all? Probably not. In fact, I like to tell the story of I was beginning to get a little bit of a high blood sugar, and my doctor told me he said, I'm going to insist you stop eating desserts. What do you think about that? And I said, I think I'll get another doctor. But we, too, must presume some of our own responsibility for some of these things, and the case indicated here to me is a classic example. Because we failed to do our part, should we then blame that only on the medical condition, who clearly made a mistake? Maybe some of it, but some of it should be ours. I would urge you to support this bill.
Senator Barrasso.
Thank you very much, Mr. Vice President. George Burns at 95 was smoking a big cigar at his 95th birthday party, and they asked him, what do your doctors say about that? He said, all my doctors are dead by now, so he didn't care at all. I will tell you there are two things that are going on in Wyoming right now, and that is that people in Wyoming, in central Wyoming, are having a harder time finding a doctor, and the cost of medical care for people in Wyoming is continuing to go up. When doctors can't get medical malpractice insurance, because the medical malpractice insurance rates are going up in Wyoming, more so than surrounding states, they stop practicing, they retire, they restrict what they do, or they relocate to another city. And we just heard of the community in Converse County that's lost a physician, and I just learned for the first time that a physician that we've been putting the full rush on in Natrona County to come to Wyoming to practice has made a decision not to come here because of the climate in which we live. And those three kids who are in that picture, those three grandkids sitting there, aren't going to be raised here in Wyoming. They're going to be raised someplace else. And the people in central Wyoming are going to miss the care of somebody who is the person that has our that we have the best chance of trying to recruit, somebody who grew up here, someone who knows Wyoming, who loves Wyoming, likes to return here, not going to come here to practice. The loss of chance lowers the barrier, makes it easier to sue, and I will tell you from my colleagues, the cost of your medical malpractice insurance goes up when you're named in a suit. Doesn't matter if there's been a judgment, if there's been a ruling, doesn't matter how long it takes for something ultimately to get to court. Once an insurance company starts having to pay for a defense, you're on that list, and it's very likely that by the time the case actually gets to court, you're not going to be practicing here anymore, because we've heard previously that it sometimes takes 4 or 5 years. I think the testimony is the average time, the length of time for something to get to court is at least 4 years and closer to five. So by the time the judgment is finally brought forth by a jury in Wyoming, that by that time, that physician is often not practicing here anymore. The heart program in Casper is listed as a center of excellence. It's done remarkable work. It's operated, they did the procedure on a former governor of this state, who then became an international ambassador representing our country, and they did his heart surgery. It's a center of excellence. It's where I would want to go. It has one of the lowest complication rates in the country. But they're at risk right now because of what's happening with a number of suits that have been filed, and this has been talked about in the papers, so I'm not telling anything out of school here, Mr. President. But they don't know how long that's going to be able to stay open based on no judgments or no ruling, but there are defense costs rising, and it may be years until any of those things come to a final judgment. So what we, and I can tell you that before this session adjourns, there'll be another physician from Casper who I talked to on Sunday who will announce a retirement and stopping practice. Probably won't give up his license in Wyoming. So he'll still be counted as one of the docs in Wyoming when they make that chart of how many licensed physicians there are. But he's not going to be somebody that's going to be available for patients to go to on a daily basis. So that's the one, the loss of availability of patients in Wyoming to find a doctor. And then the higher costs, and I think, and I talked the other day about the incredible cost of testing. Here's a Wall Street Journal article from from the middle of last month. Efforts grow to curb medical scams. With use of MRIs, CT scans soaring, Medicare panel to recommend kind of fewer testing. Well, in a world where people are afraid that they're going to get sued, they're going to continue to do the testing, they're going to continue to order the tests, and the tests are not without costs. And with 1 out of 8 women developing breast cancer at some point in her life and women getting mammograms on an annual basis, which is the right thing, radiologists are less willing to read the scans because they know that 1 out of 8 of those, some point in her life, is going to be develop a tumor, even though it may be normal at the time or look pretty normal or maybe a fuzzy line. So they're going to read that scan as can't tell, recommend biopsy. And then there's all the emotional and the concerns and the risks involved in that. So I would recommend that you pass this bill, and I'd recommend we try to do anything we can to keep physicians coming here to work to reverse what was viewed as a hostile environment that pushed a doctor out of Wyoming and to make a more friendly environment to allow us to recruit the physicians that we need to take care of our people. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion? Senator Allman.
Yes, Mr. President, just things that I've heard. First off, my good senator from Albany County did kind of support this in a way. He said if we do vote for this, we'll still be able to sue. And I know that was a big problem that everybody had, that they're allowed to sue. We're not saying you cannot sue for malpractice, good malpractice. But what we're trying to do is to stop people from being able to sue for no reason. To my mind, a valid reason if it didn't have any good consequence. I hear that people are saying it's taking away your rights. I always bring this up. Where's my right or any of your right to have good medical care if we need it? Where's the right that a pregnant woman will have to go 100 to 150 miles to have a baby? And that's what's going to start happening in Wyoming more and more because of our climate. If you're still going to be able to sue because we vote on this, I would say that we're not hurting that system of malpractice. so that it will show that the doctors, we do start to care about them and that we do want them to stay in our state and to keep our health care system up. And I hope that we will vote yes on this.
Further discussion? Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. I read an email the other day that was referred to earlier. I'd like to read you another one. This is a letter to ask for help. At this time, I'm currently practicing gynecology and obstetrical care in Casper. Wyoming, unfortunately, the current malpractice issues are pushing me to either look at relocating my practice out of the state of Wyoming or retire from practice altogether. Both are options that are not going to fix the problems for my patients. That's Hugh DiPaolo. We had some options that you guys that were in the special session while some of us were out campaigning last summer. You came up with some options. The constitutional amendments were put out. I went to the show put on by the guy in the fuzzy buckskin jacket, and he talked about how we were going to lose our rights. He was convincing, and the legal community put up a very convincing argument. And we got one of the amendments was defeated and one was passed. So there's no caps on economic damages. But there was the chance of a review panel. So on the first phase of what could we do as a state, the legal community, which, don't get me wrong, we can't live without them. We need them. But the legal community came out full force against it. The people chose one. Now we have a medical panel that we're working on, and I've worked on that. And in part of working on that medical panel, there's things that we bring up and we want to look at, and there's admissibility and things. But again, the legal community comes out and says, well, we can't do that, and we can't do this. And so we have to continue to chop away at the options. So here we are now looking at a bill of loss of chance. And I, too, like the senator, have had my brush, and I was lucky. I carried my loss of chance, the doctor's name, for probably 20-some years. Finally, that doctor found it, and I'm thankful he did. But I'm not looking back at every doctor that gave me a physical or looked at me before there saying that because they didn't find it, I lost that chance. I'm thankful that they did find it. And now I'm supposedly I'm healthy. What we have to do here is we have to look at what we really are looking at. The good senator brought out the fact that we need to prove that it's malpractice first. In looking on the panel bill, and one of the things I wanted in there was the expert up front. I had members of the legal community tell me, finding an expert is not a problem. It's pain. You can go out there and find an expert that tells you that is malpractice. If your first expert says no, go look for another one. There are people out there who will give you that expert witness that you're looking for. So we can back and forth, but I think that what we need to do is take that step. Dr. Rapallo has delivered a chunk of the people walking around in Casper right now. If he goes, not only will his people not have a job, but there's a big problem there. And as him being my neighbor, the street won't get plowed anymore. I urge you, look at what we're doing here, take that small step out there, and let's be different from all the states and show that we can take the first step of support this bill.
Further discussion? Senator Johnson.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. I can't let go of the opportunity to thank you for taking me behind the woodshed. And I should have put in my items here that one of my reasons that I didn't was that I didn't get on their case and ask them where it was. I assumed the responsibility for that, and I said, well, it's my fault, too, because I shouldn't have waited that long. Not hearing from them doesn't count. I just got busy, and again, I'll say that it was my fault. We're talking about loss of chance. I didn't. My whole frame of reference is I didn't. I didn't. I didn't. I didn't. I didn't for several reasons. One that I didn't bring up and was corrected was partially my fault. The other reason I didn't was because there was damage control. I'm healed. I'm done. I'm okay. I'm over with. So I would imagine that that goes on very frequently. I would imagine that every one of you had that go on at one time or another in your life on something. So please keep that in mind. Now, I got slipped a note by the my colleague from Laramie County that sits up in front of me. He says that in my case, if I had sued, the jury would have to access my negligence for waiting, and they could, in their collective minds, decided that it was 100% my fault because I waited. Juries in Wyoming are mean. They're lean and mean, and they do the right thing a lot of times. So, and the other thing I would like to remind you when we talk about proving negligence, the doctor does not have to prove that he or she was not negligent. That's very firm. They do not have to prove that they were not negligent. You have to prove that they were. And that with the preponderance of evidence, is that right? Shake yes. Up one more? What? Okay, thank you. Now you can see the kind of legal advice that I... Anyway, and in another life, I got very intimately acquainted with that, and it is very, very, very hard to prove negligence. And they can just sit there and go away. So, again, I would ask that we defeat Senate File 165 for the 500,000 people in the state. Thank you.
Further discussion? Senator Job.
Mr. President, I feel a need to respond to the idea that Wyoming is a hostile environment to the doctors, because with the amendment last fall and now this, and I do see these as a loss of rights. There's no doubt in my mind that we're talking about a loss of rights. You know, my constituents were really kind of angry because they're feeling like they're being told they have to give up rights in order to have better health care in this state. And I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true at all, and I think there are some other options that we need to look at and that we need to develop, but taking away the people's rights makes it a hostile environment to them, too. And we have a group of doctors in the state. We want to keep them, and I'm willing to go that distance, except for taking away the rights of my constituents, especially when they have been harmed. And we know that they are harmed sometimes, and they ought to have a chance to have a fair hearing and take that to their peers or whoever it is to get that rectified. So I do stand against this bill, and I hope this body does take this one down today.
Further discussion? Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. Following up on the hostile environment, in trying cases over the last 20 years, if there's a hostile environment for anybody out there, it's for plaintiffs. And what ends up happening, and I don't care who you represent, whether you're representing a rancher who's had his, somebody has done a false positive on his herd, and he finds out he's got to sell his whole herd, and sitting there trying to talk about what are your lost profits, and they come in and say, the defendant will always come in and say, well, how did you know you were going to sell your cattle when the prices were X? You probably would have sold them down low. If you own a drilling rig and somebody comes in and runs into your rig and all of a sudden you can't work for 6 months, they come in and say, well, wait a minute. How do you know that you are going to be able to work the next 6 months? Do you have signed contracts? Show me those signed contracts. The issue of causation of harm is hard. And Wyoming juries have always been very defensive towards giving out awards. And if you look at the time since the McMakin case has come out, the reality is the lawyers have adjusted. When it first came out, the lawyers said, geez, you know, that's not the way I was thinking. This is an outrage. 6 months later, a year later, you can go talk to that same lawyer and attorney and say, you know, we've learned to work with it. We understand what it is. We understand the balance in it. And, Mr. President, it does come down to exactly that, the level playing field. Everything that you've heard here is what you're going to hear in a trial. You're going to hear personal responsibility. The plaintiff has personal responsibility. You're going to hear that the doctor should have exercised better care. The plaintiff first has to have an expert to say that you've fallen below the standard of care for physicians in that area, and that there has to be an expert saying there's a causal relationship. And that's an enormously hard, and I can assure you it's hard to find experts. And expert doctors do not come out. And for the number of times that you have cases evaluated and docs come back and say you don't have a case. But I can talk about the number of times that Wyoming physicians have sent their patients to me and said, this guy's got malpractice, and then you call the doc and says, well, I didn't mean it that way. And I think doctors could go a long way in this state by not being hostile towards each other, and they find out that the environment will change. But in this fact, juries are not hostile towards docs. And since the time of this decision, I can only think of one medical malpractice verdict. And that was a result of where, frankly, the jury believed that there was hiding of documents. It's not a hostile environment. Doctors are winning these cases, and they're winning for the exact reason that the president just pointed out, because the lawyers are going in and saying, look, it's all about personal responsibility, and you must exercise it. And the cases are being won. The issue there, but for now, I ask to go in and say that there's not going to be a level playing field, and the plaintiffs have an even harder case in an environment where it's hard to take your case, it's hard to proceed. That's not fair either. But I can assure you, if it's not this doctrine, then you have to talk about the increased risk doctrine. You have to just go back to the basic concept. In fact, if you go back to the McCabe case, the Supreme Court pointed out, if you look at our existing jury standards that we've been using, the jury instructions we've been using for the last 15 years, has the exact idea. It says, whenever it appears from the evidence, the case that the act or omission played a substantial part in bringing about the injury or damage, you're entitled to recovery. That's the instruction we've been working on since I've been practicing law. And that's the same instruction that is being worked with to try to measure the justice and how you deal with the issue where you have a misdiagnosis and the lost opportunity to have treatment because you followed the advice. And if your doctor, this is not a situation where you have a misdiagnosis or you're sitting there waiting for your diagnosis and you forget to call your doctor. We're talking about the situation where the diagnosis has been rendered and they miss it, and you've got a classic case, and based upon classic factors, the diagnosis is made, and any doctor would say, hey, that was a mistake. And then you've lost your father, you've lost your income earner, and you can no longer make ends meet. Those are the cases. The other cases aren't making it because the juries understand personal responsibility, and they, in fact, are the leveling field.
Are there any seconds? Previous question having been moved with the proper seconds is not debatable. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed no. The previous question having been called for, the chief clerk will call a roll. The question is, shall Senate File 165, having been read three separate times, shall it pass the Senate?
Anderson?
Aye.
Allman?
Aye.
Barrasso?
Aye.
Boggs?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
No.
Geis?
Aye.
Haynes?
No.
Hawks?
Aye.
Hines,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Job, Johnson,
no.
Massey,
no.
Meyer, excused, Mockler,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Northrup,
aye.
Peck,
no.
Ross,
no.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Sessions,
no.
Townsend,
aye.
Vasey?
No.
Von Flatern?
No.
President Larson?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Votes closed. 13 ayes, 16 noes, 1 excused.
Senate File 165, having failed to receive the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 165 has failed to pass the Senate. Senate Joint Resolution 6, third reading of the joint resolution.
Senate Joint Resolution 6, Recapture Limitation, sponsored by Senator Cole, a joint resolution proposing to amend the Wyoming Constitution, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senate Joint Resolution 6, discussion on the joint resolution. Senator Hines.
Mr. Vice President, very briefly, of course, I have always objected to this. I think the Constitution that we currently have set up was to give those areas in school districts a little extra money where they have that high valuation, and of course it almost always come from mineral development. They have added costs that they probably can use this money in their school districts. Also, the State Foundation Fund is in good health. And probably one reason I'm most concerned about is when this was presented just last fall and was not accepted by the people, then is it our policy that we just keep trying and trying? And I don't think it should be. If we try something and it doesn't work, well, I'm in favor of waiting a little while before you come back, see why the reason makes some inquiries why the people did not support it, and then if there's good reason to come back, we'll do it at a later time.
Further discussion on the joint resolution, Senator Cole.
Mr. President, very briefly, I think we have to remember that the Supreme Court has mandated out there equalized funding for education, whether you go to school in Sundance or Evanston or Gillette or Jackson. Equal opportunity. Equal resources to do that. Clearly, the Senate joint resolution here takes it back to the voters for them to make that decision. I continue to say that the reason it didn't pass last time was the language wasn't appropriate where they understood what was going on. And with the amendment that we put on, I think that'll help clarify that. The reason I bring it this time is because it won't go to the ballot even until the next general election, which is 2 years away. If something comes up between now and the next general election, we have a chance to come back in and change some things around. But I certainly understand the good senator from Campbell County, you know, his thoughts on that. But in my way of thinking, it's not appropriate for some districts out there to be able to be funded at a level higher than other districts that are comparable because the Supreme Court chose not to address this issue, which they did. So I'd ask that you support the joint resolution.
Further discussion on the amendment. Senator Sessions.
Mr. Chairman, just to take a moment of your time, or Mr. President, just to take a moment of your time, there were some other things going on when this amendment failed this last fall, and in our newspaper in this county, we had advertisements put out that related it to no local control. If you want to keep your local control, vote no. On this particular, and I think we ought to realize that, you know, that was a completely distortion of what this amendment was trying to do. And having had a history of and a family in a very wealthy district and a history of teaching in a very poor district, it's just phenomenal the difference that what children have in this area, and I don't know how many laws from 1976 on, 75 on, we've been in this, and I think it's time that we finally equalized it permanently so that we can get on with funding education. Thank you.
Further discussion on the joint resolution?
Question.
Further discussion? Seeing none. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall Joint Resolution 6 pass the Senate? Remind the body it does take a two-thirds vote. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Allman?
Aye.
Barrasso?
Aye.
Boggs?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
No.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Haynes?
Aye.
Hawks?
Aye.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
Aye.
Job?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer? Excused. Mockler?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Northrup?
Aye.
Peck?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
Aye.
Vasey?
No.
Von Fleitern?
No.
President Larson?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing? Vote closed. 25 ayes, 4 noes, 1 excused.
Senate Joint Resolution 6, having received a two-thirds affirmative vote of majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate files Joint Resolution 6 has passed the Senate. Senate Joint Resolution 7, third reading of the Joint Resolution.
Senate Joint Resolution 7, Oath of Office 2, sponsored by Senator DeCaria, joint resolution proposing to amend the Wyoming Constitution by amending the Oath of Office required of senators and representatives of all judicial, state, and county officers. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senate Joint Resolution 7. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the joint resolution pass? Any discussion on the joint resolution? Again, I'll remind you, it does take a two-thirds vote. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Allman?
Aye.
Barrasso?
Aye.
Boggs?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe,
aye.
Cooper,
aye.
DeCaria,
aye.
Geis,
aye.
Haynes,
aye.
Hawks,
aye.
Hines,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Job,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Massey,
aye.
Meyer excused, Mockler,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Peck, Ross,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Sessions, Townsend?
Aye.
Vasey?
Aye.
Von Fleitern?
Aye.
President Larson?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing? Vote closed?
Well, too late. The vote has been closed.
28 ayes, 1 no, 1 excused.
Senate Joint Resolution 7, having received the two-thirds affirmative vote of the majority of the members of those elected to the Senate, Senate Joint Resolution number 7 has passed the Senate. At this time, we'll take up number 122, Senate File 122, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 122, Higher Education Endowments Accounts, sponsored by Senator Scott, an act relating to higher education endowments, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We do have some amendments. Amendment number one is the Meyer Amendment. Would the reading clerk read the amendment?
Senate File 122, third reading amendment number 1, page 19, lines 13 through 22.
Senator Meyer is not here. Would anyone care to move the amendment? Seeing none, the amendment has been withdrawn. The amendment failed for lack of
of the moving. We have second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 122. Would the reading clerk read the amendment?
Senate File 122, third reading amendment number 2, page 19, line 12.
The Boggs Amendment, Senator Boggs.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move adoption of third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 122. You will recall that yesterday on second reading, Mr. Majority Floor Leader was successful in amending this bill, the Senate file, to establish a committee that would plan for implementation of the trust fund. And the committee was comprised of 3 members from the University of Wyoming and 2 members from the Community College Commission. I discussed with Mr. Majority Floor Leader the possibility of changing the composition of the representation from the community colleges, not to increase the representation, but to change the representation to include one elected trustee. And this amendment does just that. It eliminates one member of the Community College Commission as one trustee to be selected by, or to be appointed by, the President of the Wyoming Community College Association of Trustees. The trustees are elected members of a governing body for each of the community colleges. I believe it is appropriate for them to have representation in this planning process, and hope that you will support the amendment.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, the amendment yesterday strengthens the bill, and this strengthens yesterday's amendment. It's a friendly amendment. I urge us to adopt it.
Further discussion on the amendment? The question is, Senate File 122, third reading amendment number 2, shall it pass? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The amendment has been adopted. Back on the bill. Any further discussion on the bill? Any further discussion? Senate File 122, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call a roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Allman?
Aye.
Barrasso?
Aye.
Boggs?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Haynes?
Aye.
Hawks?
No.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Job? Johnson?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer? Excused. Mockler?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Northrup?
Aye.
Peck?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
Aye.
Vasey?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Larson?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing? Vote closed, 28 ayes, 1 no, 1 excused.
Senate File 122, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 123 has passed the Senate. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate be in recess until 2:15.
Are there any announcements? Senator Peck.
Mr. President, the Revenue Committee will meet tomorrow, Thursday, at 12:45. That will give us time to complete the lunch here. And the bill for our consideration is House Bill 5.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, your committee number 6. Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources will meet in room S14 tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Once there, we will discuss House Bill 31, State Parks, Leases, and Concessions, House Bill 58, Engrossed, State Outdoor Recreation Areas and Facilities Fees, House Bill 82, Engrossed, Game and Fish Electronic Licensing, and House Bill 203, Engrossed, Grizzly Bear Relocation Notice.
Senator Hawks.
Mr. President, your committee number 9, Minerals, will meet at 12:30 to consider House Bill 291, Engrossed, Office of State Lands and Investments, and House Bill 193, Engrossed, Wyoming Real Estate Commission Amendments.
Any further announcements?
The motion is that the Senate be in recess until 2:15. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Senate is in recess until 2:15.